We often report here about weapons, countries that buy and sell them, companies that make them. The arms trade seems to epitomize a profitable pragmatism, a zone of commerce that is devoid of patriotism or principle. Historian Lisa Jardine tells a story of one arms deal on which the history of the world may have hinged. She tells it in a very readable and elegantly produced new history of the Renaissance called Worldly Goods. Lisa Jardine's thesis is that merchants and business propelled knowledge throughout Europe. And to convey the sense of their view of enterprise, she relates the tale from the days when the Ottoman Turks were beating on the doors of Europe. They'd already conquered much of Byzantium, but not its capital, Constantinople.
A Hungarian gunsmith who, because of his access to copper and the raw materials of armaments in Hungary, had become expert at armament manufacture, came to the Byzantine emperor in Constantinople and offered to build him a gun so large and so powerful that no siege could withstand its onslaught.
Now we should explain here that the emperor in Constantinople at this point is the ruler of Eastern Christendom, and Turks are surrounding his domain at that point.
Indeed, he's beleaguered. He is the last bastion of the Christian church in the East. He is constantly appealing to the West to help him withstand repeated assaults from the Ottoman Empire, literally outside the walls of Constantinople. No one comes to his aid. The Hungarian gunsmith comes to his court and offers to build him this gun. Because the emperor Palaiologos, the emperor of the Byzantines, had neither commercial acumen nor technical know-how, he said he was very sorry, he didn't have the resources, this was not the kind of thing he was prepared to back. The gunsmith, who was simply a businessman, went from Constantinople to Adrianople, which was where Mehmed, the Ottoman emperor, had his seat, and he offered him the gun. Mehmed jumped at it. He had the gun built. He tested it by building himself a fort on the Bosphorus, from which he fired the gun at various passing ships, terrified the living daylights out of the Venetians. And he then wheeled the gun, which I think it involved dozens of oxen dragging it, wheeled it to the walls of Constantinople, and did indeed breach the walls of Constantinople with this super gun, terrified the inhabitants with the force of this gun, and the super gun purchased as a piece of cutting-edge new technology by the Ottomans in a piece of entrepreneurial selling by the Hungarians brought about the downfall of Constantinople in 1453.
What's captured there in part, when we think about the Hungarian gunsmith, is an attitude in the Renaissance that life is about business, and that if you can sell the gun to the Byzantines, you sell to them, and if they don't want it, you sell it to their enemies.
And of course, armaments are the most dubious of areas. I would not be happy to be thought to be really extolling the virtues of armaments manufacturers who sell to both sides. But I think that what is at the heart of my revised view of the Renaissance is that there is something about the esprit and the energy and the acumen of the entrepreneurial businessman, which we ought to take seriously. That it's not that our own day is somehow falling into Philistinism when it uses the market as the sort of measure of achievement. It has always been thus in the West, that the drive of culture and civilization is commercial.
Historian Lisa Jardine is the author of Worldly Goods, A New History of the Renaissance.